Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. That's going to be a part of my day. That's the man Hayden bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com, and the one for my new book, The Third Ingredient, is thethirdingredient.com. That's with the number three. David Dossie is our guest, our good friend, partner with Gallagher & Dossie, intellectual property attorney, and my intellectual property attorney, and we're talking about some of the myths of intellectual property and how you need to be, you got to increasingly raise your level of sophistication, folks, on this topic because it's important. It's going to, and David, in the previous segment before you got here, I talked about, you know, the digital age. We're increasingly dropping off analog age elements and picking up new digital age elements. And if there's one thing that we know about the digital age is it's chock full of intellectual property, isn't it?
Absolutely, and this digital age, like you were referring to, many people have recognized the more you can automate certain things, the more you can get people to do what you want them to do. So if they can automate a non-disclosure agreement where you just go online and click, 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 or a vendor agreement, people are used to blindly clicking on those type of things without reading them, and it saves the other side from having to negotiate those type of agreements every time. But one of the most potentially damaging IP myths that I see happen to clients all the time is that they assume, because someone says, well, this is our standard agreement, that means it's not negotiable or that it's even cited. And that could not be further from the truth. You know, when someone's giving you an agreement saying this is our standard non-disclosure or our standard vendor agreement or supplier agreement, well, that's going to be written with everything weighing in their favor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big myth. Never, just because you hear standard, does not equate to it being equal to both parties.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, these are all things, folks, that this is all part of becoming more and more sophisticated. One of the things that one of the myths that I think is a lot of people have, David, is about patents. I mean, there's so much confusion. I mean, more and more intellectual property today is not patents. It's our own property. What's the word I'm trying to use? The closely held
trade secrets.
Trade secrets is what I'm trying to say, or something. It's a trademark or something like that. But patents are still very much a part of our world, and there's a lot of people don't understand. There are a lot of myths out there about patents. What would be one of the biggest ones?
Well, for a small business, the biggest one would be our company only uses old technology, so I don't have to worry about patents.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, you know, old technology may still infringe a patent, and all too often a small business is totally off guard when they get sued for patent infringement, and they come to me and they say, how can they have a patent on that? Or they should never have been able to get a patent granted on that. Well, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
Maybe
you know,
they're right, but if they own the patent, that's irrelevant, isn't it?
Right, and you may have all sorts of great arguments, but given the place that we're at right now, it's going to cost you $250,000 to make those arguments versus,
right,
you know, doing a little bit of research up front. You know, you might have spent $5,000 to $10,000 to do some upfront research and avoid those potential issues that are going to be the real big hit to the pocketbook.
Well, and how about this?
So don't,
if you've been paying attention to what was going on, you would have known that they were, when they filed for that patent, perhaps, and you could have objected to it.
Well, nowadays with things like Google Alerts, you know, there's no reason for a small business to not have Google Alerts set up to all of your key competitors, and you can filter them over months. You know, first day you may get 50 notifications about one competitor, but eventually you'll get it tailored where you're actually setting up essentially a competitive intelligence system. So you are on top of everything they're doing, not just from an IP perspective, but any new product launches they're undertaking and such. So things like that shouldn't be catching you off guard. And you have an idea of whether your competitor is doing a lot in the patent or trademark space or not.
Right.
And that's a good thing, too, because one of the myths is that you'll ever be able to sell your business without having to answer a lot of pointed questions about intellectual property. Mm-hmm. And I see that a lot. People will come to me and they say, well, we're looking to sell in the next 6 to 12 months. Well, that's too late to start trying to get things organized from an IP perspective, because a potential acquirer is going to come in there, and if it's anything more than a $100,000 deal, they're going to ask a lot of questions about what you've done with your intellectual property and what you know about your competitors. And that's not the time to be coming up with a off-the-cuff answer to those questions for the first time.
How many times have you seen people buy a company and pay a premium for nothing more than the patents? I mean, look at the big companies that have bought little companies, not for their customers, not for their profitability, but for the patents that they owned.
Well, yeah, and not even that, but we've talked about it in the past, Jim, that if you just have all your intellectual property stuff nicely organized and you've shown that every month or every 6 months, every quarter, you run a report related to your competitors, and you have 10 years of that data, you're going to get a premium for your company.
That's exactly right.
And that premium can be substantial.
That's how you get those high multiples, folks. Let's take a quick break. We're going to talk some more about these very important issues, the myths of intellectual property that you need to know about, with our good friend David Dossi. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.